Let me underscore the sentiments as expressed by Reverend Keisha Brown this morning, that we're standing in solidarity with our sisters, ambassadors. If you'll let the worshipers in now before we go to the scripture, please. Amen. Ask that all of our sisters will please, after this service, go into the Charles Robinson Fellowship Hall so that you can get some further exacting information. We are a holistic ministry, so we don't want your soul just intact, body falling apart. Amen. We want your heart, soul, and mind running in decency and in order. Allow me a point of personal privilege to thank God for your prayers. Last week we were in Liberia, West Africa, and God blessed us in a wonderful way and in large measure. I know that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. So thank all of you who sent emails, made phone calls, and just sent petitions towards heaven for traveling mercies. To that end, I want to thank God for Pastor Daryl Ham, who preached on last week and did a wonderful job of carrying the word of the Lord. Shout hallelujah for him. As well as I want to thank God for our own ministerial staff and for our music ministry for running things in decency and in order. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And I'm going to look at just one verse, and this is going to be our case study for today. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse number 19. Once you found it, won't you say, I got it? Let's read it together. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to preach using as a subject this morning, I've got to make a decision. I've got to make a decision. I believe that this sermon is specifically for some people who are in this 7:30 service, who are teetering and tottering on the brink of making a critical, crucial life decision. I want you to look at the person beside you and tell them, soon I'm going to have to make a hard decision. Amen. Turn to the person on the other side and say, what you waiting for? You got to make that decision. Amen. I've got to make a decision. In 1982, on the campus of the University of Southern California, a neurologist by the name of Antonio Damasio had a case patient by the name of Elliot. And Elliot had been a model father and a model husband. He held an important management job. He was, in fact, big in corporate America. He was active in his local church and had been named by his community as the man of the year. Regrettably, the year prior, in 1981, the doctors found a small tumor growing on his brain. And so they immediately moved to operate. In the operation, they had to cut off the front cortex that is near the frontal lobe. But the operation changed everything. He maintained the same IQ in the 97th percentile, but he only walked away with one psychological flaw. And the psychological flaw is that he was now incapable of making decisions. This dysfunction made normal life impossible, and routine tasks that should have took minutes began taking several hours. He had what Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. called the paralysis of analysis. He couldn't move because every decision was time consuming. His indecision became a decision. Because in case you don't know, when you don't decide, a decision is being made for you. As a consequence, it didn't take long before Elliot lost his job. Not soon thereafter, his wife left. All of his new businesses began to fail. His house foreclosed. By IRS began an investigation. Con men duped him out of his money. Elliot spiraled down into living a non-existent existence. He was barely living because he could not make a decision. He lost his ability for passion, for sadness, for impatience, and even for frustration. And when he walked onto that University of Southern California campus, they knew something was wrong because they began to test his emotions. They showed him a picture of a house on fire, and in the brain activity, nothing happened. They showed him a picture of a severed foot, and nothing happened. Showed him a picture of a voluptuous naked woman, and still nothing happened. What they found out is when they cut out the tumor on the frontal lobe of his cortex, somehow or another, they cut off the piece of him that had emotion. So as a consequence, he couldn't feel anything. And because he couldn't feel anything, he was rendered incompetent. Reason without emotion is impotence. If you can't feel, then you can't decide. The problem that many of us have is that we have a lot of emotion and have little reason. And so we feel more than we think. And because we've allowed our feelings to outweigh our thinking, we make bad decisions. So we go based off of how it is that we feel when we know it's not good sense. The picture of that is what happened this week with famed R&B singer Chris Brown and Rihanna. There's a crash of emotion and reason by both entities. While none of us were in the car, none of us know the argument that ensued to make it escalate. We do know that we've got two young people who are both millionaires before 21. We've got two young people who've got fame and paparazzi at their disposal. Two young people who have millions of young people literally around the world looking at them as role models. The problem is they got checks but didn't get character. So we taught them how to feed off of emotion without totally showing them how to process the thought behind the emotion. So both of them are operating at a category one of dysfunction. Chris Brown, because he was raised by a stepfather who showed him the dysfunction of an abusive relationship, emulated what he saw. When 2 years before the incident, in an interview, he said, "My fear is that I'm going to end up duplicating the same behavior as my stepfather." And 2 years later, we see a mirrored reflection of a man who has potential, but he operated out of emotion and not intellect. On the flip side, we've got one of the most beautiful young women on the planet with Gucci contracts, spokesperson for UN, signatory for the United Way, is abused, but something is broken because after abuse, somebody in a corner told her, "Don't press charges." So it said then to young girls, when you're abused, don't say anything. That is perpetuating a dysfunction of abuse that has happened in our community. 1 out of 5 teenage girls are hit before they're 18 years of age. Where then is our mind if we want to deal with emotions? We deal with our emotions when we divorce our intellect.
It was the Roman poet Ovid writing in his classic work, Metamorphoses, that says, a few centuries after Plato, desire and reason are pulling in different directions. I see the right way and approve it, but I follow the wrong. Plato said that the mind is like two horses running in different directions. One horse is reason, while the other horse is emotion, and you are the charioteer trying to pull them together. What happens when Paul said, when I would do good, evil steps in my way? See, your problem is you don't sin by accident. You sin by premeditation. So you knew what you were going to do before you did it. You didn't just happen to fall into a cigarette. You didn't fall into a hotel room. You didn't fall into a bus to Atlantic City. You made up in your mind, this is what I was going to do. And your mind said, this ain't what you should do. But your heart said, this is what I like. So how do I make a decision when I no longer feel? So I become like Eliot because I feel numb. I don't feel anymore. And because I don't feel anymore, watch it, I don't care. And because I don't care, it doesn't matter to me what I do, because so many people did me wrong. It's now my season to exact what has been done to me. Y'all don't like this kind of preaching this morning. So how then, preacher, do you expect me to feel when I no longer have feelings? Because so many people took advantage of me. Now I got to make decisions based off of how I feel when I know that I think better. But because I've come to a place of a series of so much brokenness, of so much affliction, of so much pain, you can't tell me not to do it, because it's the only way I can do to anesthetize what it is that I feel, because my feelings no longer exist. The Cartesian faith in reason became a founding principle of modern philosophy. It was Francis Bacon and Auguste Comte who wanted to reorganize society so that it reflected rational science. It was Thomas Jefferson that hoped that the American experiment would prove that men could run on reason and reason alone. It was Immanuel Kant that came up with the concept of categorical imperative so that the moral majority would be rational in its thinking. It was the French revolutionaries that took over Parisian cathedrals and made them temples of rationality. But isn't it interesting that there are temples that are dedicated to reason, but there are not temples that are dedicated to emotion? Unless you go to a black church. See, if you go to a black church, we can't find reason, we just find emotion. So we just shout, but we're not processing what we're shouting about. So if we have the right choir singing the right song, then we'll shout, fall out, do the electric slide. But that's not what the saying is. The saying is not when I feel. The saying is when I think of the goodness of Jesus. So when I come to church, I don't want you just playing with my emotions. I want you to give me something to think about, so that when I leave out of church, I might not agree with everything that was said, but it'll make me think about it, because if I think through it, I can feel what I'm thinking. But you expect me to make a decision when I can't feel anything. As a consequence, many of us go into debt. I know y'all didn't see this coming. You go into debt based off of emotion and not intellect. So when I'm feeling bad and stressed out, I go and buy shoes that'll make me feel better. I'll go get a new dress, because even while I feel ugly on the inside, it'll change how I perceive myself on the outside. Now I go to the mall shopping when I know I got a bill due. So I gotta ask myself, am I doing this out of my intellect or my emotion? They're ringing it up at the cash register, and in my mind I'm saying I can't afford it, and as a consequence I'm not sure whether the card is going clear. So I begin to pray, Lord, help my bad decision. decision. Help my bad decision go through so that I can feel better when I'm not thinking better. I wish I could get 500 people in here. Now your store already knows you got to deal with emotion. And because they deal with your emotion, the first thing they do is manipulate your senses. So when you walk into the store, the first thing they're going to do is spray perfume because they want to change your sense. That what it is that you smell on the outside is not what you encounter on the inside. Then when you get in there, they've changed the ambiance by setting the music because they want you to feel something classical that will calm and soothe you from the anxiety and the stress that you dealt with in your house and on your job. Then, no matter who the clerk is, they're going to tell you whatever you try on that looks good on you. You don't even know my style, don't even know what I like, but because nobody has said something positive to me, I'll take it from a stranger because I'm not getting it from the folk living with me. God, help me in here. I can't find no real people in here. So I begin to spiral into debt, making bad decisions, because even though I don't have the money, it makes me feel better. And because it makes me feel better, I'd rather trick my mind when my heart is in a place of brokenness. But I came to make an announcement today. God says, I don't want just a piece of you. I don't want just your heart. I want your heart and your mind. See, some of y'all were messed up yesterday because on Valentine's Day, you wanted somebody to have your heart. But the problem is everybody in your phone couldn't handle your mind. But if I could get somebody who could handle my heart and my mind, they wouldn't even have to buy me a card because I give them a Valentine's Day. They never forget because I made the right decision. Somebody say, preach, black man. I'm trying to do the best I can. How then do I make the right decision when I'm torn between two? Oh, my God. How can I make the right decision when I'm torn between two? There's some woman here. Theoretically, there's a woman here who's torn between two men. I say theoretical. I'm not looking at anybody. I'm hello, lights. Yes. Listen, there's some woman who's torn between two men. She's got a man who is heavily pursuing her, but in her heart, she's not interested. But there's a man she wants, who she wants to pursue, but he's not interested. All right, it's getting ready to get tight now. So the man who's pursuing her, who she doesn't really want, comes in and he's turning it up a notch. So now she's got to deliberate on the decision. Do I go after the one who don't want me? Or do I just settle for the one that wants me that I don't want? So I then got a tribal council meeting with my girls. Which one do I go with? Girl, you better go with him. He loves you. He's into you. Y'all ain't talking back to me. He's nice. The other one is bad news. You better jump in. You know you ain't getting no younger. The clock is melting down. Stick with that one. So they try to give you a mental decision for a heart device. God, help me in here. So I end up with somebody who made sense but didn't have feelings. God, help me in here. So even though I knew it didn't make sense, I had to go with that which was logical even when it wasn't emotional. See, some people don't understand. I'm coming to get you. Some people don't understand why you love Jesus the way you love Jesus. The reason why I love Jesus is because he keeps blowing my mind. He does stuff that I couldn't even think about. He makes a way out of no way. But if that wasn't enough, I love him because of how he makes me feel. That even when I want to be depressed, even when I want to throw in the towel, I woke up this morning with my mind stay on Jesus. Give somebody a high five and say, following Jesus is a good decision. God, help me. Be seated, please. I said, following Jesus is a good decision. I'm sorry. I wish I had a saved church. I said, following Jesus is a good decision. Look at your neighbor and say, I wish I could tell you how he makes me feel. But all I can tell you is I give joy when I think about what he's done for me. He didn't have to let me live, but he did. You can't tell me to shut up and sit down. You don't know what he did for me. You don't know where I would be right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God help me. I'm preaching to somebody in here. Look at your neighbor and say, he makes me feel good. God help me when I am sad. He makes me glad. When I feel down, he picks me back up. Be seated, please. God help me. Hallelujah. Be seated, please. Be seated, please. Elbow your neighbor, say, don't get me started. Because all I need is one reason to give God the glory. I got so much to thank God for. He's been better to me than I've been. Be seated, please. Hallelujah. Be seated, please. Be seated, please. Hallelujah. Be seated, please. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Be seated. Jeremiah said, it feels like fire shut up in my bones. My grandmother used to say, I said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I just can't keep it to myself. Here it is, y'all. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul, yeah, 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 I said my soul cries hallelujah. Hallelujah. If there's somebody standing near you, tell them, I can tell he ain't done nothing for you. But if he been good to you like he's been to me, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go. Be seated, please. Be seated, please. Hallelujah. Be seated, please. Hallelujah. There's an old song we don't sing no more that says, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Grab your neighbor by the hand. Say, the pastor ain't finished, but I'm going to help him preach. Say, I've come too far from where I started from to go back to where I used to be. I decided weeping may endure for a night, but joy. Be seated, please. Oh, all right. I'm coming around the mountain. All right. Be seated, please. Well, you get ready to make a decision in just 1 minute. Look at your neighbor and say, I don't know what you came to do, but I came to lift him up. I came to give him the glory. I came to clap my hands. I came to pat my feet. And if you don't like it, sit somewhere else. But as for me and my house, we shall. Let me hasten to my text. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse number 19. Be seated, please. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse number 19. I call hear me, heaven and earth. Hear what Mo was saying. He says, I'm calling heaven and earth, here it is, to record the secretary of heaven is getting ready to write down your next decision. Oh my God, please don't miss this. Whatever you do next is going to be recorded in heaven. God help me in here. See, some of you heretofore, you thought your shout didn't count. But you didn't even know that there's a record. That God says, all right, let me see. They got up at 6 o'clock this morning. And they got dressed and sprayed on cologne, started the car, drove for 20 minutes, and got to the church. Now I got to see. If they went through all of that this early in the morning, I want to see if they're going to decide whether that was enough. But I'm getting ready to record. Those, watch this, who ain't got much money in the bank, can't stand their job, had a miserable Valentine's Day, but they said, for God I live, and for God I'll die. Look at your neighbor and say, the choice is yours. You ain't got to shout if you don't want to, but we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. They're waiting to see what your next move is going to be. They're waiting to see how you're going to act next and how you're going to respond. Says, I'm calling heaven and earth to record your next decision. Be seated. You only have two options, life or death, a blessing or a curse. Then Mo, watch this, Mo stacks, he rigs the election. Because he gives you the options in the spirit of Aristotle democracy and then tells you who to vote for. He says, watch this, you can choose between life and death, blessings and curses. But if I was you, I ain't telling you what to do. If I was you, I'd choose life. All right, now, how do I choose life? The only way, if you go by Sinai, Johns Hopkins, University of Maryland Hospital, the only way they know that you are alive, watch this, is if you're breathing. You cannot be alive and not breathe. God, help me in here. He says, choose life. So how then do I know whether or not I'm alive? Thank you. Would you please jaywalk with me over to Psalms 150? Psalms 150, verse number 1. Let everything that has breath, God help me, praise the Lord. So watch this. When I vote, there is no absentee ballot. When I vote, I cannot mail it in. But if I'm going to vote, I got to vote with my voice. In other words, watch this. If I choose to live, I can't sit there in silence. But if I'm making a decision, I'm going to live and be blessed. I got to open my mouth. And I ain't talking to the pastor, the preachers, or the choir. But I'm letting God know when I open my mouth, I made my decision that I'm going to live and not die. Can I tell you, the polls are getting ready to be open. And you only got 60 seconds to cast your vote. But if you made up in your mind that this year I shall live and I shall not die, I'm going to give you just 45 seconds to just open up your mouth and let the King of Glory know I have made my decision. I decided what I'm going to do with my life. You see that? He says something else. He says something else. I'm coming around the mountain. He says, here it is. You can choose life or death. Or, here's the second thing that you're voting for, is to be blessed or cursed. Now Mo said something that messed with my theology that I didn't realize.
What Moses was saying to us is we have the authority to choose whether we're going to be blessed. We can choose it. How do we choose it? We choose it whether we want to be blessed or cursed. I know I done backdoored you, jumped for you from the back. I apologize. But the way you choose whether you're going to be blessed or cursed is what you do in the offering. He says, watch this. If you want to be blessed, watch what he says. He said, you have to bring your gift into the storehouse that I might prove, God help me in here, that I'm not going to let you beat me giving. That when you give to me, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to give it back to you. But I'm not going to give it back to you the same way you gave it to me. I got to prove you getting ready to be blessed, because I'm going to give it back to you pressed down, shaking together, running over. Now, the